Jehovah is your name, mighty warrior, great in battle. Do you know that that song, it's in Exodus chapter 15. It was a song that Miriam sang after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. And before that miracle, their enemies were behind them. On the side, it was the mountains. On the front of them, it was a sea. So there was no way. How many of you know that God always makes a way where there seems to be no way?
Amen.
Amen. That's why we can sing He's great in battle, and Jehovah is His name. Amen. I'm going to share with you something that's close to my heart. You know, faith is always close to my heart. But I want to ask a question first, just to make you reflect. Has there ever been a time in your Christian walk where you felt like, I have done everything in faith and it seems it's not working? And sometimes you even hear people saying, I'll try faith first. If it doesn't work, I'll do these other alternatives. You also hear people saying, I've done everything I could, but I want to quit now. I think it's not working. So I want to ask you a question. Does faith really work? Does it work? Are you sure? Okay. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, King James Version. Mr. MJ will do it in the KJV. And I want to tell you, faith works. That's what we're going to talk about today. Okay. If we say faith works, and you've been using faith and it didn't work, is it faith that was not working, or is it you who didn't know how to work faith? Amen. Because if you look throughout the scriptures, you hear testimonies of many people, you can know that faith works. Amen. And as a child of God, you need to use your faith, like I said to you the other time, like a mechanic uses a tool. I told you that those of you who have cars, you know that it's impossible to take out a nut from the wheel without a wheel spanner. You can try with your hand, you can try with anything, and you will say it's impossible. But is it really impossible, or are you just using a wrong tool? Because the moment you take a wheel spanner and go this way, then you see that the impossible looks possible. Amen. So read for us Galatians 5, 6, KJV.
For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, no uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
Okay, but faith which does what? Works. Which means faith does what?
Works.
It means it works. It says, but faith which worketh by love. So tell your neighbor, faith works. And tell your neighbor, if your faith hasn't been working, troubleshoot. You know, like if you've got a piece of equipment and they told you that this equipment works, and usually when the equipment comes, they also put a leaflet inside, isn't it? They will write troubleshooting. So they are saying, before you consult us and say our equipment is not working, maybe it's you who doesn't know how to work the equipment. So troubleshoot. So I want us today to troubleshoot in your faith. Because if faith works and your faith hasn't been working, so before you consult the manufacturer, troubleshoot. We don't want to get unnecessary calls. The help desk, and you're asking about, hey, faith is not working. You see, I've been standing, I've been doing this, and faith is not working. Troubleshoot. Did you work it the way that it should work? Amen.
Amen.
If you go to Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, NIV, the Bible says, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, NIV, it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So if you look at this, already you can see starting to troubleshoot. When you feel like, where is God? I just can't see God in the situation. I can't just feel his hand. I'm in trouble and things are not working out. Then God himself says, my hand is not too short to save. Neither is my ear too deaf to hear. But it is your iniquities that have separated you from me. Your sins have hidden my face from you. So it means the first part when you troubleshoot, if it seems like faith is not working, check if you are living right before God. Before you call help desk, before you go to the Lord and say, Lord, this thing is not working, I want to quit. God says, my hand is not too short to save. My ear is not too deaf to hear. I want to deliver you. So what is the problem? It may be that your iniquities are blocking you from me. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 22 to 26, NKJV, Mr. MJ. If faith works by love, it means if you are not walking in love, your faith may not work. Isn't it? If faith worketh by love, and you want to work faith without love, your faith may not work. Because faith worketh by love. So, look at this in Mark 11, 22 to 26, NKJV, Mr. MJ. So, let's look at how Jesus talks faith. And he tells us how to work faith, but he also tells us what might hinder faith working. Mr. MJ.
So Jesus answered and said to them.
Now it seems your faith, your mic today is not working. It's like the faith that needs troubleshooting. So let me read from mine. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. So it was after the fig tree dried up and the disciples thought, oh, Jesus is just, you are an amazing man of God and your faith has worked. Jesus says, you have faith in God. For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, tell your neighbor, whoever includes you. Yeah. So when the Bible says whoever, if it's my Bible, it's talking to me. So whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not, so firstly you say to your situation, you speak to it. Okay? Troubleshoot. Do you speak to your situation or you only speak about your situation? Do you know that many people usually say, hey, I'm in trouble. You know this debt that I have, they will repossess everything I have. You're going to your neighbor. So you are speaking about it and you are even prophesying a doomsday on your life. Even calling it into being that they should repossess what you have. So he says, whosoever shall say, so I will say, I will be a master of my own destiny. It doesn't matter what you say about me. It matters what I say. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt where? Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says, some of them will be done. Huh? I want you to read your Bible. It says that those things which he says will be done. He will have some of the things he says.
Whatever.
Your Bible? Oh, is it? Whatever. What does whatever mean to you? It means some of them.
No, whatever.
So where did you get this thing that, you know, sometimes it works. You never know what God will do. Sometimes you didn't read. He shall have whatever he says. So I will speak my destiny. You remember Psalms 45 verse 1, it says, my tongue is like a pen of a skillful writer. Amen. I know how to speak things into being. But if it says you will have whatever you say, it also doesn't say you will only have the positive things that you say. It also says you will have whatever you say. So some of you, you are cursing yourself and you are having it. Because Jesus says you will have whatever you say. And he says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You know what some of you do? You believe you shall receive them. This verse doesn't say that. This verse doesn't say, believe that you shall receive them. It says, believe that you receive them and then you will have them. Amen. But I believe I receive when I pray. I don't pray and hope it will work. I pray and say, Father, I thank you that you hear me. You remember when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead? Yes. When he was before the tomb of Lazarus, he says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I thank you that you hear me. But for the sake of the people around here, I say, Lazarus, arise. Amen. Amen. Do you speak to your Lazaruses? Do you call them into back to life? Or you just talk about them? It says, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay, I want to clarify this for you. Your role is to believe you receive. The making sure that you receive them is not your responsibility. Your role is to believe. The granting of your request is not your responsibility. So my part is to believe. He said he's my healer, and I believe I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. I don't have to figure out how I will get healed. That's not my responsibility. I believe I receive when I pray. And then you will have it. That's God's part. Amen. Now listen, verse 25, troubleshoot. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Do you know that many Christians, this again another troubleshoot, you've got great faith. You know all the scriptures. You are confessing and you are standing right, but you are holding a grudge against somebody. And that is hindering your faith. Because here God, Jesus says, but if you, he says, after he talked about that faith, he says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone. No, some people are just unreasonable. Even that one. If you have anything against anyone, only forgive them if they ask for forgiveness. Forgive them, but never forget. You guys write a lot of Bibles. You will hear somebody say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Which verse is that one? My Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he separated me from my transgressions. And he says, there are sins I will remember no more. I like it that when God forgives me, he forgets. And he says, he will remember no more. So why is it that you want to keep a record of wrongs? with others. Because the Bible says love does not keep a record of wrongs. Some of the people are actually very good at keeping records of wrongs. They will even tell you what you did in the 90s. I remember that time. Sure. You still remember it. He says, forgive, so that your Father may forgive you. So if faith works by love, it means I have to walk in love for my faith to be effective. Amen? Actually, I will pick few things for you today where you will see that faith alone cannot work without being supported by other forces of the Spirit. So if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, New King James Version, it says, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, NKJV, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Okay, some of you judge people's spiritual maturity by prophecies. You judge them by all the miracles that they are doing. You judge them by their faith. But here he says, though I have all this, though I even speak with tongues of men and of angels, though I have the gift of prophecy, not false prophecy. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy, though I speak in tongues of men and of angels, though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, it's not a fake, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So I want us to look today at all these things that will help my faith to work without hindrance. So I told you about, firstly, you cannot be living in sin and expect your prayers to be answered, because then that is blocking you from your God. So make sure you're living right before God. Okay? Number two, faith worketh by love, which means you have to be walking in love for your faith to be effective and working. Amen? But now, let's say I say, I know that I'm living right before God. I know that I'm walking in love, but still it seems faith is not working. Troubleshoot. You know, when they say troubleshoot, they don't give you one sentence. They say, check this. You check that it tick. Check the next one. So now you've checked the first two, isn't it? Can we check the third one? Let's go to Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36, KJV, Mr. MJ. So, we started with, the hand of the Lord is not too short to save. Nor is ear dull to hear, but your sin can separate you from your God, and he may not hear you. Okay? And we know that faith worketh by love, which means without love, your faith may be ineffective. Now, look at this third thing in troubleshooting. Hebrews 10:36, KJV.
For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise.
Okay, he talks about there is a promise that you want to receive. But before you receive the promise, what do you need? You have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, after you have stood in faith, you need patience so that you might receive the promise. So some of you, it's not that it's not working. It's just that it's patience time. Tell your neighbor, it's not that it's not working. It's just patience time. He says you have need of patience. You can't say it's not working. So next time you say it's not working, we tell you, you have need of patience. If you have ticked, you first have to tick the other boxes. Because some of you will say, I'm patiently waiting on the Lord, when actually your sins are blocking you from God. So you're not waiting for anything. So you need to troubleshoot first, eliminate. Now you have need of patience. Look at Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews 6:12 in the King James Version. Again, look at how faith and patience work together like twins. Hebrews 6:12, KJV.
That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise.
How do we inherit the promises? Through faith and patience. Amen. So in other words, if I know that my God has promised me this, I'm going to stand and wait like somebody waiting for a bus when he knows the bus is coming. Some of you are able to wait for a bus, but you can't wait upon God. And you even say, no, they said it's delayed a bit. But you're still waiting. You don't give up on the bus, but you want to give up on God. You have need of patience, especially if I know that my God will always make a way. So it might just be a matter of time, but my miracle is on the way. Amen. I know my God is faithful, and I'm not going to quit. You have need of patience. You have need of endurance. You have need of long suffering. You have need of perseverance. So that you might receive the promise. So, can I ask you a question, especially ladies? When you are in the kitchen, and sometimes in the kitchen it's hot, you don't stop cooking. You remain in the kitchen even if it's hot. So, even in our own life, sometimes it will be hot. Don't get out. Amen. Just because it's hot. Amen? Persevere. You have need of patience. Actually, this one, I like this one. I like patience. I like perseverance. This is how I also do it, even in faith. When I'm trusting God, whether it's for my healing or any other thing, especially with healing. You know that with healing, sometimes the enemy takes chances with us. Most of us, when we start with healing, you all start by saying, by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, I'm healed. I know it is done. And sometimes it doesn't flip straight away. And then the enemy actually says, this one is starting, he heard something in church, that faith works, now he's taking chances. So he increases the intensity of the pain. By the stripes of the Lord Jesus, I'm healed. He wants to know if you know what you're talking about, or you just heard the pastor speaking. You remember the sons of Sceva. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, it doesn't work that way. The devil knows. If you're just talking about what other people are saying, or you're talking about something that's in your heart. So when he increases the pressure, I keep on standing. Because I know my God is faithful. Amen. And I fight a good fight of faith. I told you, good champions, especially in boxing, even if they can be knocked down, even if they can be hit, and then you find them there like this, they know that I'm a champion. Yeah. Amen. They might fall on round one. They might get swollen. But at the end, they hit their opponent. The opponent falls down. And the opponent is counted out. And that is called knockout. So there's nothing wrong with being knocked down. Tell your neighbor. There's nothing wrong with being knocked down. The only problem is if you are knocked out. So, that's why you may be down. You know, the Bible says, a righteous man may fall several times. But the Lord will lift him up. So, if you find me down, it's just a knockdown. I'm not out. And you know who's counting? Don't you think it's my father counting? One. Two. It will be the longest 10 that could ever be, because my father will not count me out when I'm still down.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And the devil will say, it's unfair, it's unfair, it's unfair. It's because my father was on my side. He's also the referee at the same time.
Amen.
So indeed, favor is unfair. That's God's grace upon my life.
Amen.
So when he says, I have need of patience, and he says, through faith and patience, they inherit the promises. So it means, even if it might be taking time, I told you those champions in boxing, when I grew up, I used to like watching boxing. And the one thing that was common was that those who were champions, even when they announce, and still, the heavyweight champion of the world, they don't say, and the one who fell on round one and has the swollen eye. No. The swollen eye is just a sign that I've been in battle.
Amen.
So tell your neighbor, when sometimes you see some scars with me, it's just an evidence that I was in battle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But it's no big deal. That just doesn't change me from being a champion.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I know how to stand my ground.
Yes.
So the enemy should know that. So one of the strongest force that you should use is the force called patience, perseverance. In other words, I'm able to stick with it. Because if the enemy increases the pressure, now you start saying, where are those Panados? But you started with by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, I'm healed. Now when you start saying, where are those Panados? What do you think the devil thinks now? He thinks, yeah, now it seems I'm getting an upper hand now. Because he started with scriptures. Now when the pressure is up, he's thinking of adding other things. Why didn't he start with other things, and when it doesn't work, then he goes to faith? Why should you use... some of you use faith first, and you say if it doesn't work, you go to something else. Do you think there's something greater than faith? Faith should be your first and last resort. Amen. And Jesus is my Alpha and my Omega. The beginning and the end. So when I'm patiently waiting upon the Lord, the enemy may still put pressure, but I wait. So, Mr. MJ, during prayer time, during the week, you quoted this scripture for us in Psalms 130, verse 5, TLB. You can read it yourself because you gave it to us on Friday. Psalms 130, verse 5, TLB. So, look at people who wait upon the Lord knowing that my God is faithful. So, you may be trusting God for something now in your life. We are all trusting God for something, isn't it? Wait patiently for him. Amen. Wait for him with all the confidence, because faith works. Mr. MJ, Psalms 130 verse 5, the Living Bible.
That is why I wait expectantly.
Oh, is that the reason why you wait expectantly? You see this thing of knowing God.
Mm.
If I know God and I trust in God, that's why I wait expectantly. Mm-hmm.
Trusting God to help, for he has promised.
You see now, before we receive the promise, it says you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And it says, follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. Now he says, God has promised something. I wait expectantly, trusting him to help, for he has promised. So the one who has promised is able. And he is faithful. So I will trust in him. Amen. Now, I'm telling you that faith works. You can troubleshoot. But faith does not work alone. So we've seen now how faith, you have need of patience for your faith to be effective. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8 NIV. 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8 NIV. Now, here in 2 Peter 1, is the same with Galatians 5. The Bible gives us, okay, in my book, those of you who have my second book, if you don't have, you must get it. Key to Extraordinary Life, in chapter 4, we talk about the forces, sister forces of faith. So look at this. In 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8 NIV. You can read.
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith.
Oh, do you need to add anything to your faith? I thought faith was the everything. Do we need to add anything to faith?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Make every effort to add to your faith. What should we add?
Goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And to goodness, knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And to knowledge, self-control.
Mm.
And to self-control, perseverance.
You see that perseverance, that patience, that endurance?
Mm-hmm.
Add them.
Mm-hmm. And to perseverance, godliness.
Mm.
And to godliness, mutual affection.
Mm-hmm.
And to mutual affection, love.
Ah. Mm. You see now, it's Peter's rendition of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul's rendition is in Galatians chapter 5. We'll read that. But look at Peter putting the fruit of the Spirit. But he puts them in a way that he starts by faith. And he says, add these things to faith. For your faith to be strengthened and for your faith to work, add to it goodness. Add knowledge. Add self-control. Add perseverance. Add godliness. Add mutual affection. Add love. If you do that, what will happen?
For if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective.
Okay. So, has your faith been ineffective of late? You need to add these things to faith. Because if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when it looked like it wasn't working, it's not that it wasn't working. Troubleshoot. Did you do all the other ones? And are you adding to your faith all these others? Because if you have all this in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So in Galatians puts it this way. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 King James Version says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith. You see Paul's rendition of Peter. Huh? He's talking similar thing with Peter. But the way Peter puts them, he starts with faith and puts these other things to support your faith. Okay? So, and when I say that in that chapter 4, when I'm talking about the sister forces of faith, so it's almost like faith needs these pillars to support it. So that your faith may not crumble. Because sometimes you will go through troubles, you will go through tribulation, you will go through trials. Your faith will be tested. How many of you know that gold shines better when it goes through fire? Eh? So if my faith is of quality, sometimes it needs a bit of fire. Tell your neighbor, some of the fires that you are going through, they are not meant to burn you. They are just refining your faith. Say, no, Pastor, but it's hard. It's hard, Pastor. It's hard. It's painful, Pastor. Do you think if gold was alive, don't you think gold would be saying, it's too hot. It's too painful. But it's got to go through that process for it to be refined. Now, I'm not speaking my own things. Go to 1 Peter. Because I give you example, but I've got to beg what I'm saying with scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Good News Translation, GNT. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, GNT. Now, your faith, when it's tested, your faith, when it's going through fire, is being refined. So during that time, you have need of patience. So just read it.
Be glad about this.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it may now be necessary for you to be sad for a while because of the many kinds of trials you suffer.
So there are many kinds of trials that you may be suffering. Uh-huh.
Their purpose is to prove that your faith is genuine.
Ah, you mean the purpose of some of these trials? Ah, tell your neighbor, ah. He says, the purpose of some of these trials is to prove that your faith is genuine. Imagine if your faith was fake. When those trials come, you will crumble because your faith is fake. But if it's genuine, like gold, it will be refined. Read, continuing.
Even gold,
yeah,
which can be destroyed, is tested by fire.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the pastor was talking his own things.
No. It's
okay.
Written. And so your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested.
Must my faith be tested? Is it that maybe some of those trials and tribulations that I was getting, are they testing my faith? And if my faith is genuine, it will remain standing. Continue.
So that it may endure.
Now you see endure. You see that word endurance. You see that word perseverance.
Then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Okay. So he says some of these trials, when they are coming through your life, they are testing your faith. Now, let me give you this simple example. Okay, maybe let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, amplified version. So when times are tough, when there are things that we are going through, sometimes it's like what Job went through. And then the enemy had said to God, Job is saving you because things are well with him. If everything that he has can be taken away from him, he's going to curse you to your faith, to your face. And the Lord said, he is in your hand. And the devil went and destroyed all that Job had. And then Job stood in his integrity. And then what did the devil do? He came back to God again and says, a person can stand if they only lose what they have. Stretch out your hand and touch his body. In other words, strike him with some illness and something that will make his body feel pain. And what did God say? He is in your hand. The problem with some of you is that you don't read Job. You are like, Job, do you know that Job didn't read Job? Job experienced Job. Job experienced the book of Job. So when he was talking those things, he did not know that it was the enemy behind. But you've read and you have seen when the devil is talking, Satan is talking with God about Job. So you can't talk like Job because you read the book of Job. Okay? So when Job stood his ground, you remember then Satan went there and he struck Job with boils and all those, that sickness, you remember? And now the wife comes to Job and say, are you still holding to your integrity? Curse God and die. Because that was the original intent of the devil. He said, Job will curse you. So when Job did not curse God, when all things were taken away from him, Job did not curse God even when he was struck with illness, he stood in his integrity. And then at the end, the devil doesn't have a final say. Because the devil asked for a permission, the permission is limited. Because even there, God said, you can touch his body, but don't touch his life. In other words, the devil, you are not allowed to kill him. Amen. You see that God has put a lot of barriers for the enemy. That's why I've got confidence that the enemy cannot kill me in a car crash. Because God has given his angels charge over me to protect me in all my ways. That's the scriptures I get. The problem is that you tell me, you won't quote a scripture for me, you will tell me, about somebody. Now you want me to believe somebody than to believe what God has said? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from a deadly pestilence. 1,000 may fall on my side, 10,000 on the other side, but it will not come near me. That's what I say. That's what I've seen in scriptures. Amen. So, Satan can ask. Look at this. Read it for us. Because even Satan, they asked for permission to sift the disciples. Read. Luke 22, 31 and 32 amplified.
Simon, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Satan has asked excessively.
Oh, you're reading it in, I think that's Amplified Classic. Which Amplified is that one? Go to the other Amplified. Okay, let me read in the, okay, read in that Amplified, I'll read in the other Amplified. Okay. There's Amplified Classic and there's Amplified, yeah. Read in that one, I'll read in Classic, in Amplified.
Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him.
Oh, so he was like begging. Satan has asked excessively.
Yes.
That all of you might be given up to him to do what? Yeah, continue.
That he might sift all of you like grain.
Ah.
Hmm. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter,
mm-hmm.
that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren.
This is powerful. Satan has asked excessively for you guys. He wanted to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed. He doesn't say, but we have refused him permission. Did Jesus say we've refused him permission? He said, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. I know that if you stand in faith, the enemy will be defeated. Amen. So I don't have to stop trouble coming your way because you've got what it takes to win. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you've got what it takes to win. You are more than a conqueror. So those troubles don't have to be stopped. They will find your faith, man. All we can pray for you is we pray for your faith that it might not fail. So in this Amplified, you say, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain. But I've prayed, especially for you, Peter, that your faith and confidence in me. You see, this is the thing. Sometimes when you are trusting God, if you sometimes think things are not working out or you experience a failure here and there, sometimes your confidence starts being dented. Your confidence in Christ. So he says, I've prayed that your faith and your confidence in me may not fail. And once you have come, turn back again to me, strengthen and support your brothers in faith. So this is where the power of testimony comes in. Some of you, you've gone through it all. You've gone through it all. People are sitting next to you, they don't know what you've gone through. If they knew, they would be surprised you're still coming to church after such troubles. And you need to tell them, I cannot afford not to be in church after such troubles because it's because of the Lord that I'm still here.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, when you have gotten your breakthrough, strengthen and support others in faith. So it's always easy. You know the power of testimony. Sometimes I'm teaching you, I'm telling you this thing, faith. Sometimes I give my personal testimony. But when we're teaching you this, and it's making sense, when you go and get your breakthrough, come and strengthen the brethren.
Amen.
Sometimes it's more powerful when one of you come and say, you know, I was also going through something like this. I went through this and it was difficult. And this, and people are listening. And somebody who's going through what you went through is listening. Sometimes they listen to you better than they listen to the pastor. Because they are hearing you saying, this is what I went through, and I took that word that was spoken, and it worked. I exercised faith, and it worked. Now I'm a living testimony. And the person gives the testimony. Now you are strengthened. Yeah. Amen? You say, it means God can also do it for me. Because sometimes when we give testimony as pastors, you think, for pastors it's obvious. God loves them more. God, there's a special favor for them. It's the same thing that people did about Jesus. When they see all the things that Jesus did, they say, no, Jesus did that because how can be compared with Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God, you know. That's why he did that. So now you say the same thing for pastors. Do you know that we have to use faith like anybody else? Do you know that Jesus had to use faith like anybody else? You know that? When he went to that fig tree, and he thought he would find, firstly, the Bible says Jesus was hungry. Can God be hungry? Huh? So when Jesus was hungry, it means that verse is showing you that Jesus was in the state that you are as a human being. That's why it says, Jesus was hungry. And then when he looked, he saw the fig tree and he thought he might find figs. Do you think if he was operating as God, would he not have known that there are no figs there? He didn't need to go and check. He should have known if he was God. But as a human being, he thought there would be figs. So this shows us that he was operating as a human being. It's like when he was in the fountain when he met the Samaritan woman. It says Jesus was thirsty and he says, draw me water. When he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, which shows that he was in human form just like us. So when he exercised faith, he was setting an example for us that we can live with the faith of God, even when we are here. That's why Galatians 2, 21 and 22 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me and who died for me. So it means I can live like Jesus because Jesus is in me. Jesus could live like the Father because the Father was in him. Amen. So now he says, when you go and strengthen your brethren. So you give testimony and strengthen others. Let's take another one. Troubleshoot, because I need to conclude this so that at least I put all of it together. Go to John 16:33. Amplified Classic, John 16:33. So we've shown you those other ones. Now the first one, we went patience. I took a lot of time on patience because you have need of patience. You have need of endurance. You have need of, even when things are difficult, even when Satan asks sometimes to sift you like wheat, we pray that your faith may not fail. Stand in faith. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. You remember Ephesians chapter 6, when he talks about the armor of God. Take unto you all the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. So you keep on standing. You don't quit. Now, John 16:33, Amplified Classic. Let's look at another sister force of faith that support the faith.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence.
Okay.
In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations.
I like this. You see, I like how Jesus put things. Unlike some of you usually start with the good and you say, but, and now you cancel everything that you were saying. Yeah, I know God. God is amazing. God is great. God can do anything. But, you know, in my situation, now you nullify that. But Jesus starts by telling us facts. And he cancels them by faith. Some of you speak the word and you cancel it by facts. That's not how to do it. Do it the Jesus way. So what did Jesus say? Jesus says, in the world,
you have tribulation.
Oh, some of you are saying hallelujah. Those who want to end with tribulation and trials. When we say, Jesus says, but he hasn't said but yet. So you don't say hallelujah before the sentence is finished. Because you will be disappointed soon. Because, you see, we just told you, you know, tribulations and trials, my brothers and sisters. Jesus is clear here about them. Continue.
In the world, you have tribulation and trials.
And distress.
Distress and frustrations.
Mm-hmm. Is that the end of the sentence?
Nope.
So it's not finished.
Yep.
So you can't go around here and start preaching a distress sermon. Jesus told us in the world we'll have tribulations and trials, brethren. Yeah. He did not say that. He added a but. I like what comes after a but. That's where I live.
But be of good cheer.
Hey.
Take courage.
Mm-hmm.
Be confident,
mm-hmm.
certain,
mm-hmm.
and undaunted.
Mm.
For I have overcome the world.
Yes.
I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you.
Do you think Jesus was praising trials and tribulations here? Mm-mm. He was saying in the world you will have trials, tribulations, distress, all this. But he wants to say those are the facts. But I want you to live in another world. He says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Because I've overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. So it means when you have those trials and tribulations, you need to tell them, even those trials and tribulations, tell them it's not a full stop yet. There's a but after you. Can you do that with your trials and tribulations? When it's very difficult and very tough and all that, tell them there is a but after you. Because Jesus says, but I must be of good cheer. I must take courage. And now, if you look at the word he used when he started, he said, I have told you this thing so that in me you may have peace. That's another force. You know, the Bible will talk about faith, love, long-suffering, perseverance, peace. Now, let's look at the one for peace. I like this one, actually. Just like I like perseverance. Because with peace, you are able to be like Jesus, to sleep even when there are storms. You remember Jesus was sleeping when there were storms around? And the disciples they didn't know what to do. Okay? Jesus, don't you care that we perish? They woke him up. Jesus woke up, said, peace, be still. And he calmed the waters. And he said, how is it that you have no faith? And you know, I always think of two things when Jesus said that. It's not in scriptures, it's my own interpretation. I think Jesus was saying, did you have to wake me up? Couldn't you just exercise your faith and speak to those storms? Or he was saying, did you not read the scriptures that I was not going to die in a shipwreck? I'm going to Calvary. You see, that's the good thing with people who have destiny. People who have destiny with God, they don't just die anyhow. Amen? Because we've got an assignment with God. So Jesus had to die on the cross. So if now, imagine, was there any way that Jesus could drown there? There was no way. Okay? Because God has already said something. So he says, how is it that you have no faith? But he himself, he was sleeping there. You remember even Peter. Peter, after he was arrested, you know, during those days in your Christian walk, and this is what somebody also said to me. They said, with Christians these days, you can stop going to church just because somebody offended you. There were other people who would even be killed for being Christians and they still persevered. You just one thing, somebody doesn't talk well with you, now you stop going to church. Hey, you've got luxury. Eh? During time of Peter, For you to stand for your faith, even in other countries during the time that we are living in, people are persecuted and they would even be killed. So now James was arrested and he was beheaded for his stance in Christ. Now Peter was also arrested because Herod realized that it pleases the Jews when I do this. He went and arrested Peter also. And Peter was also supposed to be beheaded. But do you know what Peter did? Again, peace. The Bible says Peter was sleeping. When the angel came to wait to deliver him, if it were you, do you think the angel would find you sleeping? That he even had to beat you to wake you up. It says Peter had to be struck on the side to wake up. And he even thought he was dreaming, even when he was going with the angel through those open gates. But if it were you, you would have sleepless nights. That's what even deaths are doing to you, isn't it? The debt that you have or that thing. You've got sleepless nights. You've got no peace. Why? Just let the peace of God reign in your heart. And relax in God. There is one thing that I think I told some of you. It doesn't pay to worry. And I told you, worry is like paying, again, it's there in my book. It's like paying interest on a capital debt. The debt remains. Because if you're worrying about this thing, Jesus says, who of you by worrying can change anything? So you can as well relax and trust God. Isn't it? You can relax and trust God. Because here he says, let's listen to this as we wind down. John 14:27. Look at this. Because I want this peace that I will be able to sleep even with the things that are not working well in your life. You should have peace. Peace. Jesus would say, peace, be still. Peace, I give you my peace. Because when you have the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, you are able to relax. You are able to relax, and you can only do that when you trust God. You are not ignoring situations, but you just have peace. You know, there is this song. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. So I've got the peace of God also down in my heart. I've got the joy of God down in my heart. You cannot move me. So read John 14:27, New King James Version.
Peace I leave with you.
Oh, I like that. It's not a slogan of a certain church. It's Jesus. Continue. No, I mean, if you know, I didn't. It's you who know it. Just continue.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid.
You see, it seems like you've got a choice to let your heart be troubled or not. So if you've got the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, you are able to say, I know the all things that, even those calls, you know, some of you are even avoiding certain calls. Just in case it's those ones for that debt. Still sleep, man. Still sleep. Because even if you have sleepless nights, it doesn't change anything. So you can as well exercise your faith and trust God. Continue. Go to Isaiah 26:3 Amplified Classic. It says, I need to finish this. You will guard him and keep him in perfect peace. That's Isaiah 26:3 Amplified Classic. You will guard him and keep him in perfect peace and constant peace, whose mind, both in its inclination and its character, is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So when I confidently hope in God, I can have peace. Sometimes when people don't have peace, it's because they are not trusting God. When you've got sleepless nights, sometimes it's because you are afraid of what the enemy can do to you. I gave you this example the other time, some of you, I said, I was comparing meditation with worrying. You know that when you worry, You are contemplating and thinking about the ability of the enemy to harm you. When you meditate, you are contemplating and thinking about God's ability to deliver you. Amen. It takes the same amount of effort. Amen. So it means if the enemy wakes you up at 12 midnight and now you can't fall asleep because you are worried about that, I told you the trick. Just start praying. You will see the devil will leave you alone. He doesn't like it when you pray. Then you will fall asleep even without saying amen. But if you just worry and entertain worry and keep on worrying, the enemy will keep you awake the whole night. Okay? So it says you will keep in perfect peace and guide my heart. So let's land with Philippians 4, 6 to 9. We land with Philippians 4. I like this one. New King James Version, Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Okay. Because I want you to understand this peace. I hope you understood perseverance or patience. Now, peace. I like this one because there are times sometimes I would even say to my wife, I'm just at peace. My heart is at peace. Yeah. You just feel all is well. Amen. The Lord is in control. The Lord is in charge. And that peace doesn't come because somebody promised me something. Doesn't come because there is that. No, it's this peace that is from within my spirit that anchors my faith. So Philippians 4, 6 to 9, New King James Version says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now verse 7. And the peace of God, that's the same peace that Jesus says he lives with us. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Did you see that? The peace of God guards my heart. I don't want my heart to be troubled. Like Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. I give you my peace. So anything that's making you have sleepless nights is not sanctioned by God. Have the peace of God. Now, verse 8. He says finally, but I also want to say finally because we also need to finally. So he says finally, brethren. I'm also now saying to you, brethren, finally, we have landed now. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Did you see that? I told you, instead of meditating on your worries, on your troubles, on your debts, on all those things, these are the things you must always be thinking about. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any praise. And this is the exercise I gave some of you the other time. I said, those of you who think that you've got so much problems that you can't sleep, you've got so much problems that your life is problems all over, I said, take two separate pages. In one of the pages, write all your problems and things that are troubling you. In the other one, write all things that are well in your life, starting with the fact that you are still alive. Okay? I'm still alive. I'm healthy. I can still walk on my two feet. I've got this, I'm that, and that list. And you will see this one. The devil exaggerates. Tell your neighbor, the devil exaggerates. After you write three problems, you now start thinking, I thought I had a lot of problems. And it's only three. And is it the three problems that has been making my life misery all the time? But I've got 50 things here that I wasn't thanking God for. No ways. I've got to now start saying, bless the Lord, all my soul. Forget not all his benefits. I'm starting to list. He heals all my diseases. He forgives all my sins. He renews my youth like the eagles. He delivers my life from destruction. I'm starting to tell the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
Amen. Faith works. Amen. And you will work it also in your life. You will be patient. You will persevere. You will have the peace of God. But you will also make sure that you don't live in sin. You will make sure that the love, you walk in love. Amen. So that faith will work for you too. It's working for some of us. In Jesus' name, amen.